Well, it's great to see everyone this evening. And if you're visiting with us, we always want you to know that you are our guest. And beyond being a guest, we want to introduce ourselves to you. That's always the proper protocol of etiquette when someone comes to your home for dinner or whether you meet a stranger. You ought to introduce yourself. And what it is, by your introduction, you often give your name. You say, well, this is the Sanderson family or this is the Smith family. Let me introduce my wife and my children. And that's the polite thing to do. And tonight we give you spiritually, we are, as the Bible has named us, by the everlasting God of heaven, we are and wear the name Christian. They were called Christians first in Antioch, Acts 11 and 26. Now they were not necessarily the first Christians. The first Christians were made in Acts 2. But they did not receive their official designation until after the Gentiles had obeyed the gospel. And the gospel to the Gentiles was consummated in Acts 10 with the household of Cornelius. And in chapter 11, one chapter later, the Bible says they were called Christians first in Antioch. Three times the name Christian is written upon the pages of the New Testament. That name was not given to us by our persecutors, but by God Himself, according to prophecy from the book of Isaiah. Now, what I want you to do this evening is learn to hear. And there's different. The word hear is used sometimes in multiple ways in Scripture. There is a shallow hearing in the sense that you recognize someone speaking or audible tones or going through the sound waves, but you're not really listening with the intent to constitute any formal conviction, much less any obedience to follow. So we're talking about a listening that requires you to be active in the worship of the preaching. Preaching is worship. And it's not merely the preacher engaged in worship. It is all of us engaged. And so let me go through some very practical points before we get to the text. I want to try to help us this evening. When you listen and hear according to how the text is going to tell us how we ought to hear in a moment, it has to be with this deep, active, investigative spirit within us that we seek to know the will of God and do whatever we can to understand the will of the Lord. That's why the Bible says, take heed how ye hear. Take heed how you hear. Now look at this. The Bible says in Romans 10, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? Y'all know the Bible says they have not all obeyed the gospel. Now, Paul says in Romans 10, they have not all obeyed the gospel, number 16. That's important to note because without obeying the gospel, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 through 9, anybody who does not obey the gospel is going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the power of His holy angels. That's serious. But Paul says they've not all obeyed the gospel. But they have to hear before they can believe. How do we know? Because verse 17 says, for this reason, faith cometh by hearing. Now, what kind of hearing? Passive hearing? Casual hearing? Or with this aggressive, active listening, where I am totally engaged, I am focused, and I am listening to what the Spirit says. We learned last night the Holy Spirit is alive, and He teaches, and He instructs. That's a fact. The question is, how does He do it? According to Ephesians 6 and 17, the Spirit yields His influence through and by the instrumentality of the gospel. So, Paul says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Hear what? The gospel. What is the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And it's the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1, 16. So why is it then they have not all obeyed the gospel? Well, because many are not hearing. They're recognizing tones, but they're not hearing with the proper view. Now, this is important. Let me give you an example. Christianity is much like math. If I was to ask this question this evening, what is 2 plus 2? We all know it's 4. 4 plus 4, 8. 8 and 8, 16. And 32 and 64 and 128. Just on and on and on. Now, but even when you get to the point where you don't know it by memory, you can figure it out because you know how to add. Right? But if you don't know how to add, eventually you're going to be in trouble. In the church, Christian education builds. So you have to know first that there's 3 dispensations and 2 covenants and how many books? 66. 1 true author, but 40, about 40 men who the Holy Spirit blessed with the revelation. You're going to have to know the difference between the old and the new. You're going to have to know the difference between the 3 languages in which the Bible was written. You need to understand and know about the judges and the kings and the 12 tribes of Israel and how and who they came by and through. Now, if we're not listening, here's what happens. We spend year after year after year after year casually going through the book, sitting in the pew, and we know little to nothing after 30 years of service. So when the minister decides to dig deep, some of y'all want to dig deep, wait a minute. Hebrews said, the time is come when you ought to be teachers. We're going to talk about that 2 nights from now. But ye need one again teach you the oracles of God, the first principles. Why? Because the time has come you ought to be on strong meat, but you can't handle that. So we want to do is teach ourselves how to hear. And while it sounds elementary, the truth is it is the foundational point of salvation. Before belief, used to we said hear the gospel. People leave that out now. Let me tell you something, you can't have belief without hearing. Because there's too many voices talking. You have to hear the voice of God in the scripture alone to be directed in salvation. Now, so many people are not really highly schooled in the scripture. They have a surface level. Let me give you some more examples. There's nothing wrong. And by the way, the crowd, you must have these people trained good here, Brother Bonner. Because they're highly engaged. Every night, I'm serious. There's eye contact. I like some eye contact. That's one of the reasons why I try not to use notes, young people. If you're going to preach, if you have to, now make sure you're correct. You got to be correct first. Remember, mechanics are always first. Truth. Got to have truth. But eye contact is good because you've got to get people to listen to the message. And number 2, there's nothing wrong with a person using their phone. I know at Deer Creek I had to get on to them. Some of them were using phone and said, well, preacher, we're just looking up the Bible. I said, yeah, I don't have any problem with that. But when I see, I'm not using notes, so I can watch a little. So when they go from looking at a Bible verse to doing this, and I see Facebook being scrolled, that's not listening. That's a sin. There's listening, I'm going to go further. There's no difference in doing that than there is playing an instrument in the church. Because both of them are vain worship. Matthew 15, it's worship that God hadn't authorized. We're not here to clip our toenails. I used to hear one sister clip, 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 clip. So I said, well, it's better than picking her nose. I said, well, either one of them can wait. We need to be focused on the truth. We're only here 2 or 3 hours a week, right? We've got to make the best of our time. It's not a time to balance checkbooks. It's not a time to look at recipes. And even people who take notes, don't start just doodling and daydreaming. Notes is for the scripture references, but ought to keep you focused on the lesson. That you've got to learn to hear. I remember one time when I first got married, my wife always liked to dress nice, and I'm glad. I didn't want, you know, I wasn't crazy about ugly. I tried to find a beautiful woman. But look, on one occasion, we didn't have much. You know, preachers, Brother Bonner, were like Peter and John, silver and gold, have I none. So my wife went down, and she was at Dillard's, and she picked out a beautiful dress. She said, honey, can I buy it? I heard her. But I didn't hear her. You see the difference? I heard what she said, but I didn't hear her in the sense of buying the dress. We couldn't afford it. I want you to see the difference between casually hearing and dismissing something than hearing it. I want to be like Samuel of old. Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth thee. Don't we want to be like that? Speak, Lord. for thy servant heareth thee. Now, he spoke in different ways in times past. We can't wait on a dream or an audible expression from the throne of God in the night. But we have something perfect, complete, and full. God hath spoken. Hebrews chapter 1, God who at sundry times and at diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, that's now, that's from the cross onward, that's the beautiful age in which we live in, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir over all things, who by inheritance, Hebrews 1 and 4, he hath been given a name higher than the angels. I want to listen to God. So many folk today, I hear them on social media and in casual conversation. I just wish I could talk to God. You can, if you're a Christian. You can speak directly to the throne of heaven through and by the one mediator of Christ Jesus. And he speaks to you through his word. But man often resists the two biblical proven pipelines of communication and seeks for another, just like the Jews in the Old Testament. We need to hear what God says. 13 times, I believe it is. Check it out. But I believe 13. In the book of Revelation, this common phrase is utilized in reference to words given to the churches of Asia. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto churches. How does the Spirit speak to the church? Through the book. Through the book. We have record of what the Holy Spirit told the church of Christ at Ephesus, told the church of Christ at Smyrna and Thyatira. We have a divine record of it. And he still speaks to us today because we can find our congregation of wherein we reside and hold membership in some symbolism within those pages. Now look at this. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation 2:7. To him that overcometh, who's going to overcome? The one that overcomes this world and comes over to the heavenly realm is the man or the woman that's going to listen to what God says. And I will give unto him to eat of the tree of life in the midst of the garden. Isn't that beautiful? In the midst of paradise, God has given us this tree of life to eat eternally. To whom? To those who overcome. Who's going to overcome? Those that listen to God. You know what the difference was? One of the differences between the two thieves, we always talk about one thief. What about the other one that didn't make it? Because one of them was listening. The other one was not listening. I want you to show you another example. Turn your Bibles over to Acts, the 26th chapter. Here is a great king. And we'll get to Matthew in a little bit. We'll close on Matthew. I ate enough food tonight. I mean, I've got the energy. Those people fed me like a king. Barbecue, ham, banana pudding, sweet tea, rolls. I'm serious. Yeah, don't be jealous, brother. Y'all's a hospitable congregation. That's how we ought to be. Hospitable and loving one to another. There's nothing wrong with having a good time and having fellowship and enjoying one another's company. We need more of that. But then there's a time to get right down to business like we're doing tonight. And I mean down to business. And the scripture says in Acts 26, down about 24 through 28, somewhere right in there, listen to what the Bible's talking about. He says, Agrippa, this thing was not done in a corner. What? The resurrection. Thou believest the prophets. I know that thou believest the prophets. Here's the point I'm making. Paul is preaching to Agrippa. Agrippa has heard the gospel. Because the gospel in part is the teaching about the resurrection. And there is no resurrection if there's not a death and a burial. So we know Paul taught. And he says according to the prophets. And that's according to the scriptures. Because the prophets produced through the Holy Spirit the scriptures. That's the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Paul's delivered to whom? A king in high official capacity. And the king says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He heard, but he really didn't listen well enough. Because if a man understood, truly understood the gospel message, the commands, the promises, the warnings, the blessings, the life that's demanded, the sacrifice that was given. He with a good heart would obey from the heart, Romans 6 and 17, that form of doctrine. But Agrippa says, not now, but maybe later. Almost thou persuadest me. Well, now let's look at the difference between the way he heard and another person. Go over to Acts the 16th chapter. And here we're introduced to a woman, a wonderful woman named Lydia. Now the Bible says she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, a worshiper of God. Interestingly enough, she's many, many miles from home. And on the Sabbath day, I find this remarkable. There's no Jewish synagogue, according to scholars, in this area. She had enough faith and conviction as a worshiper of God, as a Jewish, either a proselyte or a Jewish lady, to worship with her counterparts on the Sabbath and to vacate the business for that day. Y'all follow me? Some of our own brethren, under the better covenant, Hebrews 8 and 6, when men are here to lead, when the house of God is open, choose business. Let the text talk. Now let's go on. The Bible says, and heard us. Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. She heard what Paul is preaching. Well, how do we know? Because see, again, the word hear in the text, now you can look it up in the Greek and find out quickly which hear we're talking about. But if you didn't have access to the Strong's and the Vines, you can find out by the context. The immediate context will tell you how she heard. Because the Bible says, and the Lord opened her heart. Now, y'all don't get excited here. Hold on. That's just the fact. It didn't tell you how. It just stated the fact. Now, this is where you've got to learn to listen. Y'all follow me? All that is the fact. Some people jump the gun. Said, my wife went down to the store. Said, oh, she must have drove Brant's pickup. I didn't tell you that. I said she went to the store. You don't know how she went. If the text didn't tell you, she might have walked. Because y'all, she does not drive my pickup. I'm joking. But you see my point. It says the Lord opened her heart. Well, now we have to look in the context to see if there's any relevancy here in the text that will tell us how, in fact, the Lord did that. Here's what I do know. Before that phrase, it says she heard us. Heard what? The preaching. Now, we have other passages that already instructed us from last night, Ephesians 6 and 17 being one of those. The sword of the Spirit. How does the Spirit convict men? How does the Lord open the hearts of men? How are all these passages connected? Because the fact is stated and the medium is found. The medium is through the preaching of the gospel, the Lord opened Lydia's heart. What's her heart? Not her blood pump. Not her guts. Can't trust your guts. That's indigestion, man. You can't trust the guts, right? That might be gas. That might be something else. You can't trust gut. This is heart, right up here. How did the Lord open her conscience and her intellect? I'll tell you how, because she had a restricted, narrow view concerning Judaism. She had not been exercised and illuminated into the greater scope of Christianity, Judaism being fulfilled by the Christ, the resurrected Savior. When Paul comes to this lady who in her own right was doing all she knew to do, much like Apollos, she is instructed by the preaching of the gospel. The Lord opened her heart. How? Through that preaching. How do we know? Because the Bible says she attended to the things which were spoken. Not felt. Spoken. Y'all see this? Calvinism would have you to believe that the Spirit comes with a crowbar and forces himself into the heart against your will. And at that point, you're saved. But that's not what happens here. She hears before, she obeys after. The Lord opens the heart. He has a masterful part in salvation through and by the gospel. And that's why Paul said in Romans 10, how shall they hear without a preacher? If God was going to save her right there by the riverbanks, without any without anything upon her part, he could have done so, but he didn't do that. He had those four men get on a boat and go all the way through Neapolis and on into Philippi, the chief city, and out by the river banks. I want you to see that Lydia heard properly. She heard, and that hearing produced conviction. That conviction produced repentance and ultimately baptism. And I want you to notice here tonight that baptism is not something in this text that is argued. It's stated after it had occurred. People didn't fight baptism like people fight it today. It just said, and she attended to the things which were spoken. You have to decide if you want to hear the gospel. And once you hear, believe the gospel, there's only one thing left to do. Obey the gospel. But Romans 10, they have not all obeyed the gospel. Y'all follow this? This is clear. But you got to listen. It's hard. It's hard because the way our society is so instant, so mobile, so moving. There's so much information that we have to process. Billboards and radio and social media. Let me ask y'all a question. How hard would it be if you lost your phone for 90 days? 90 days. Oh, I see the sister's pain in her eyes. It'd be hard on me. I'm not going to lie. Because we're so dependent upon it. Are we not? So we have to. And that's why they say now people's attention spans. That preaching, a lot of people say no more than 20 minutes. But I don't necessarily agree. We're going to have to stretch our minds and recalibrate. Because here's why. If we keep reducing the preaching to agree with the dictates of society, that our attention spans growing less and less, it's like the man who doesn't exercise. Well, sure, his muscles are going to be weaker. And as he grows weaker, right, and he exercises less and less and less, he becomes weaker, weaker, and weaker. We're going to have to bust that cycle. It's going to be hard. And retrain ourselves to listen aside from all distractions and allow the Word of God to permeate our lives. Y'all see this? We're going to have to. We can't, it's not 15, 20 minutes a week, not going to cut it. The world's too tough. Now let's go further. So, I want to talk about tonight about why you need to hear. And what type of hearing, and how hearing is going to be evaluated in your life. So let me show you this way. Who in here is a good listener in the church, spiritually? You can tell, if you're taking notes, when we get through at this, you're going to be able to tell, yes, I am, or yes, I am not a good listener. Good news is, you can change that. Most of us are not. Most women will tell you they would love for their husbands to be a better listener. Men, I'm serious, right? Here's a key point. You want more kisses and hugs? Learn to listen. Congregation, you want to be closer to God? Listen to God. The only one way to listen to Him, through His Word. That's it. Self-help books, denominational teachers, those little deals on TV that pretend to be religion, people getting carried away and losing their right mind, that's not God talking, that's the devil talking. God speaks through His Word. And you have to hear. All right, number one. The Bible says in Romans 10 and 17, for then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Note this. If your faith is not strong, you're not listening and hearing God. The text does not say everybody that hears has faith. It says everybody that has faith comes from hearing. A lot of people shallow hear, and they have no faith. You have to hear with the intent to believe and to obey. You have to hear with a great focus and a great meditation upon the Word of God. It's not enough to read. One must meditate upon it. Think about it. Reflect upon it. How is this going to change my life? What areas do I need to improve upon? How does this text relate to my family? What areas do we need to work upon? I've got to meditate upon it. That's why the Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But he meditates day and night on the law of the Lord. Here's another way you can tell. If you cannot discern true teaching from false teaching, you're not listening. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, or try the prophets, because many have gone out into the world that are false. Now, it's one thing you get some help from your elders, your preacher, but I'm telling you guys, you need to be able to listen and distinguish between right and wrong. Brother Bonner and our wives were talking on the way over here. Some brethren today, that's right, Brother Adams, he's got a following. In other words, a lot of people like to read his stuff. McAdams, that's right. Did I say Adams? I'm sorry, it's right, it's McAdams. And he's not the only one, Brother Bonner. There's a bunch of these fellas. They teach a rejuvenated, remodeled earth. False. False. Listen, the earth and the works therein are going to be burned up. We're going to a location, a city, prepared by God, Jesus the Christ. We're going to a place, not on earth, but in an eternal realm, spiritual in nature, that Paul said, we look for the things which are unseen. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Now I'm just giving you one example. But if you don't listen carefully to people, even overall good preachers, sometimes will sneak in something, and of course then they don't anymore have that backing of faithful people. Y'all see this? Any preacher can fall. So, well, how many doctrines? I'll tell you, one doctrine in the scripture. One doctrine is too many to be off on. Amen. We need to be preaching what we know is the truth. And I'm telling you guys, if we don't start learning to listen, we're going to be led to hell. The Bible says, if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch. Paul said we're supposed to speak the same thing, 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now you tell me, the earth not being completely dissolved in a little remodeling program, the restored earth, is that the same thing as heaven, spiritual, eternal, in the city of heaven that Jesus has prepared? Are those two reconcilable? Are they the same? No. They are totally different. And if one can believe in a rejuvenated or remodeled earth, then what about the preacher who doesn't believe in hell? Does he get a pass too? You see? Because they link together. You've got to be able to fundamentally listen to somebody. And let me tell you, content before charisma. Content before academia. Content before size of congregation, preacher preaches for. Content before any of those things at all. You must listen to what the person speaks and not be enamored by his personality, by his dress, and by his appearance, etc. That's why God chose David. God didn't choose David because he was tall and handsome like Saul. God chose David because he had character. We've got to have character back in the pulpit. And character is linked by content. If content's not right, then the character has to be questioned eventually. Y'all with me? Some of y'all look like you're at a funeral. Did I scare you? Don't worry. Heaven's still real. We're not staying on this earth. And I'm glad, by the way. All right, now here's another way to test it. If you can retell the lesson in your own words correctly, you've heard it properly. If you cannot retell the lesson in your own words, you have not heard it. So you're at a college program, maybe. Let's say you're a law student, or you're in pharmacy school or medical school, and week after week after week, it goes in one ear, out the another. You could not retell it. You could not revisit the subject. You could not put it in your own words. You can't write it down. You can't verbalize it. You tell me. You want that guy operating on you? Not me. I want the guy that can talk about it. I've been to some doctors that are wonderful. They can explain to you exactly what they're doing, why they are doing it, and why in this difficult procedure they have chosen this particular route. They're well schooled. We need ministers and elders and every member in the pew to be well schooled, to be able to formulate and articulate the doctrine of Christ and retell it. And when I say in your own words, I don't mean in the way you, in your own ways, your own doctrine. I mean in your own language. Everybody has different lingo, and everybody has different mannerisms and illustrations. You ought to be able to teach your neighbor and teach your friend what we discussed tonight and the basics about hearing. If you can't tell someone the difference in the types of hearing in Scripture, then you haven't successfully listened because you haven't gotten the message. And we've got to keep driving some of these points home until our brethren can articulate these things. That's important. Another way. This goes to Matthew 10. Do you have verse 13? Matthew 10, if you don't mind. Now when you read, Brother Bonner, don't read real light. Read like you mean it. Y'all know it was a joke. He always reads like he means it. Go ahead.
If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it.
Whoa. No. Matthew 13. I'm sorry. That's my fault. Matthew 13, 12 and 13.
For whoever has, to him more will be given.
One of the ways in which you can tell if you're listening, your knowledge in the Bible is growing. Right? So let's say that I preach on Acts 2. Mike, a few weeks later, preaches on Acts 2. Somebody else comes in and preaches on Acts 2. If they're gospel preachers, they're all preaching the same thing, but one may add a depth to a prophecy that I didn't cover. Another one may expound upon the gift of the Holy Spirit that I didn't get around to expounding upon. Somebody else may tie Acts 2:38, the remission of sins, back to Matthew 26 and explain how we know that that's talking about in order to obtain. In all of that preaching, what's happening? The one that already has a knowledge, enough knowledge to be saved, he's adding to that knowledge because he's listening. And then we can go deeper. But if we're not listening, every time we've got to go back to the very beginning and bring us forward. We're wasting a lot of time that way. Y'all follow me? Now in law school, they're tough. I'm going to tell you what happens. My wife told me. No, I mean, she didn't happen to her. She's smarter than I am. But look, you know what happens in law school? They don't haggle with you. They try to get you to quit almost. They want to weed out the people not supposed to be there. The church, we can't, could you imagine what it looks like? Now some of y'all, 30, 40 years in the church, picture your mind, close your eyes and picture your mind, you're sitting there drinking a big bottle of milk with the pacifier. That looks somewhat upsetting, doesn't it? But that's what the case is a lot of times. It's time to move on. And age does not mean skillful discernment. Maturity is skillful discernment that comes by work, energy, dedication, and learning to listen. You got to learn to listen. You got to learn to study. You got to learn to discern. Now, all week we're going to be talking about this, so you might as well get ready. So he that has, more shall be given. How is Jesus going to do this? He's going to teach them by parabolic instruction. And it's not really merely earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That does not encompass the definition of all parables. It's a throwing alongside by way of comparison. That's what it is. Some of our old brethren, you say, well, it's just an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's not true. It's a throwing alongside for a comparison's sake. And Jesus spoke in parables because to the people that wanted to hear, guess what? They would receive more. The people that were dishonest, like the Pharisees and most of the Sadducees, and they were trying to trap him and trip him and make him look bad, he didn't have time to fool with those people because he knew their hearts were evil, John 2 and 25. He says, all right, I'm going to preach these parables about the upcoming of the kingdom. And for those of you who don't want it, you're not going to receive anything. It's a mystery. And the mystery is only going to be revealed to those who learn to listen. Now go on with the reading, please.
And he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him.
Wow. So even those people that don't have, now obviously they just don't have much. They have a little. But what little bit they have, through apathy, indifference, and neglect and abandonment, they lose what little bit they have. There's no such thing as the Christian has stagnated in a pool. There's no such thing as just keeping house. How y'all doing down there? So, hey, we're keeping house. No such thing as keeping house. We're either progressing or we're dying. That's collectively and individually. And that's why we've got to get into this book, and we want to get into it and devour it, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And we don't want anybody or anything to keep us away from sound teaching. You know what sound is? Healthy. I went to buy a horse one time off a horse trader. Kid you not. I said, is the horse sound? He said, yeah, he's pretty sound. Well, see, now, wait a minute, brethren. All he had was one limp leg. Three still worked pretty good. That's how we do it, preachers in the church. Well, he just off on one thing. Yeah, but try riding a horse. Try riding a horse in pretty rough terrain, or even a donkey with a limp leg. What's going to happen? You're going to fall. Sound means healthy. Well, it's just my liver that's failed. Yeah, but you're going to die if your liver don't get to working. You've got to be sound. Healthy teaching promotes healthy Christians. And healthy means only what God says, all of what God says, and that's going to change us. It's not an easy process. I'll admit it. In fact, it's a difficult, it takes a while. It's a lifetime. Go on and read the next verse, please.
Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand.
Jesus separated the classes of people only into two. He always did that. I never see a third class in Scripture, do you? A narrow road and a broad road. Eternal hell, eternal heaven. The saved and the righteous. The saved and the wicked. The wheat and the tares. Always two classes. And Jesus says, what's going to divide them? The teaching. Jesus said, my teaching is going to divide them based upon their hearts. If their hearts are right, then that teaching is going to lead them to higher ground and an abundance of health spiritually. But if they're dishonest, this will be a mystery that's never uncovered, and they'll never have the opportunity to enter the kingdom because they take the opportunity from themselves. Jesus taught in parables. Simple teaching. Now I want us to think about this tonight. About the power of listening. The Bible says that we are to take heed how we hear. We're also supposed to watch what we hear. Now what does that mean? That means we have to pay attention to what we're putting into our minds. Anything you put into your mind that you allow in affects you. Did you know that? That's true. That's just true. It affects you. How do we know? Because Philippians 4, in the positive realm, Paul says, think on these things. But why did the Holy Spirit direct Paul to write this about how we are affected positively? Because he knows that things that go into our mind and conscience, emotions and intellect, that stay and that we dwell and meditate upon, they can lift us out of an environment that otherwise would be sinful. That's why we don't go around people all the time and saturate ourselves with evil company. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not, Proverbs 1 and 10. Why? Because your mind is where the battle's at. You've got to put into your mind what is good, honorable, and holy. And I'm not just talking about morality. I'm talking about doctrine. You start hearing some preacher talking about, well, yes, we don't want to have mechanical instruments and the Bible's against those and it's against those because of Romans 14. But see, if you know the Bible, you know what he just said. What he's saying is he's against instrumental music because of a weaker brother. That's false. Y'all see this? And not everybody's going to catch this in the church. Well, why did Brother Bonner catch it? Why did two or three of you old folks out there catch it? I saw, because you're listening. Y'all follow this? Sometimes old folks go to the doctor. Grandparents, great-grandparents, sometimes you got to go with them. I'm serious. Because they're slipping just a little. And they come back and tell you, what did the doctor say, Granny? Oh, he said, I'm pretty much okay. that may be not exactly what he said. It's not enough for us to say mechanical instruments are wrong. We have to teach the right reason why it's wrong. Because it lacks authority, Colossians 3 and 17. If we are against the instrument, but for the wrong reason, the next generation then will perceive and take in the instrument. And we become a helper to their problem by not teaching the whole counsel. Y'all see this? Someone said, well, just teach on the good points of marriage. Just teach on the gospel. Don't teach on things that are wrong. Can't do that. Because if you do that, you will have temporarily a swell. You will. You'll have a swell of people. But then you'll have a collapse spiritually. And ultimately, the place will not even be known as a Church of Christ. I've seen it occur many, many times in my short life. We are only one step away from apostasy. And that's not meant to scare us. That is meant to light a fire under every one of us to go home and to get into our Bibles. To pray fervently, James 5. To sound the trumpet, Ezekiel 3, 17. To stand fast, 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Produce fruit, be evangelistic. Teach your friends and your neighbors. Pray with your children. And never allow a shallow hearing to take place in the teaching of God's Word. Even if a person is not highly skilled in the deliverance of the message, you better be listening to every word that comes out of that speaker. Acts 17:11, and these were more noble, who? The Bereans, than those in Thessalonica, in that they searched the Scriptures daily with all readiness of mind. You catch that phrase? Readiness of mind. They were ready to listen. To see whether or not those things were so. In the end of this lesson that we have now come to, I want to go back to the beginning. How shall they hear without a preacher? Young men, think about preaching. Amen. I encourage you to preach. Even if not full time, when you get a job someday, go out to small congregations in the country. They desperately need preachers because we need trained men of God under good mentors. Get under Brother Bonner's teaching. Let him help you. Let him mentor you. And you go out and teach and preach. And then we need members to encourage your sons to preach. No greater job than a preacher. Amen. Well, I won't mind. He might be, but he's not a preacher. Nothing better than being a preacher. Because souls are at stake. And God said, the way in which I bring people to the cross is through and by puppets. No. Through and by gimmicks and gadgets. Through and by preaching. Preaching is the manifested soul deliverance of God's word upon earth to the proclamation of the souls. To let men see the difference between right and wrong. And tonight, have you heard the gospel? Would you think about becoming a Christian? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what Jesus said. Do you believe it? Are you listening? V.E. Howard used to ask, are you listening? If you're listening, then you'll obey. I don't know how you could not be a Christian and stand outside the gates of the church. Stand outside the gates of the kingdom. And be consistent and satisfied with your life. Tonight, the opportunity is yours. And if you're in the church of our Lord, and for some reason slothfulness, neglect, sin has overtaken, tonight come home. Come home repenting. Come home confessing. And the elders of this church will pray with you and for you, and God will bring you back into the fold of safety. Come as we stand and as we sing.